Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At some point, at AJ is the real, but he's still playing poker. At P. Creighton 1, filling in. And at producer T. Scott, who is filling in for Jong, who we knew was not going to be here. If you missed the first hour, Patrick Creighton sitting in because AJ was playing the tournament over at Prime and was down to the last 13, the last I heard. So he's updating me. Hopefully, get good news, and he's going to make it all the way to the end and win some money.
So how big is a table?
10 players. So they're almost down the final table. If we get the final table, you get paid. Usually what happens is everybody chops, so I anticipate him wrapping things up here in the next 15 minutes and then getting here in time for the last hour of the show, or maybe getting here in time for RJ Bell. Dave Tepper's wandering around the office. We're going to try to get him in at some point. If you talk to Dave, just let him know 5:30 to 6 is out because that's RJ. And Baylor Bear Joe Tan asked on Twitter, will the Rockets' defense suffer with Paul out? I think it will because he's been – I mean – he's been terrific at both ends of the floor, and it's going to make a difference. But maybe I'm crazy, but I just kind of think – I think the Rockets can play a lot better than they did last night. Certainly so can the Warriors, and I know that the way the Rockets played defense had a lot to do with that. But I think they might be okay. I don't know how I'll feel about them in a seven-game series in the finals if they make it that far without Chris Paul. But I think they can win one of these two games without him.
Look, ideally, they win the next game without him, and then you know, if the Cavs and the Celtics go the distance, that gives him a few extra days off there before the finals would start. That'd be the best case scenario for him. But Chris Paul's one of the best defensive guards in the league. Of course, it's going to hurt. Eric Gordon's not a bad player. I like Eric Gordon as a player. He's just not Chris Paul. Nobody else is. Nothing wrong with that. The defense they're going to feel it. You know what they're going to need is they need EG to. You know, this is a guy who, after the first game, remember, he pretty much called out his own team and said, look, I need the ball more. Give me the ball more, and, you know, I'll score more. I need to get into a rhythm. I got to get into a flow. I need to be doing more than just catch and shoot so that I can get into a shooting rhythm. And in the second game, he blew up. So Eric Gordon's going to get a lot more minutes. I mean, look, he played 36 minutes last night. So for him to go from 36 to 40 minutes, probably not a stretch. And you just hope that, look, if you can get Eric Gordon to give you a good night offensively, he led the team at 24 points. He gives you a good night offensively. You need MVP Harden. And then can one other guy give you a scoring output? Or can Ariza and Tucker both give you double digits? You know, last night they combined to give you 14 points. Ariza only shot 1 of 6. Can those two guys give you, say, 12 to 14 points each? It's asking a lot because you're asking them right now to play insane defense. But if they can give you a little bit of that, just look, it's one game. Can you give it to me for one game? Maybe that's kind of how you overcome it. And, you know, Gerald Green might get 15 minutes. Last night he had 9 points in his 16 minutes. He needs 9 points in his 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think you might need more out of him, frankly. But that's the thing. Those guys are capable. Tucker's capable of going off. Ariza's capable of going off. They're going to need one of them to do it. And they're going to need Gordon to play well, and they're going to need Harden to. The main thing is you can't have James Harden that you've had for the last six quarters. That guy, if you've got that guy, you have no chance of winning a game. And he's going to have to get his bleep together. And I think he will. I don't think he can play this badly for two more games. But if he does, boy, we're going to start talking about Elimination James again. Hey,
also got to figure out who's going to be that seventh guy coming off the bench. Normally it would be Bamute. Clearly he's been hampered by this second shoulder injury. How much can they load him up with painkillers, anti-inflammatories, or whatnot, that he can lift his arm over his head? Because when you're alligator arming layups, you know you're hurt.
And that's the problem. His offense has been so awful, and he's gotten good opportunities that it makes the defense almost, I don't want to say useless, but it certainly mitigates the defense he brings. So he's got to be, if he's what we've seen so far, I don't know that he's the guy. And maybe it winds up being Ryan Anderson again. I don't know. But you're definitely going to have to get something from somebody off of that bench.
Good news on Mbamute is he was shooting threes in practice today. He was actually making threes in practice today.
Oh, yeah, you can shoot threes all you want. You got to make some.
But, he was making threes. But the point being is if you're able to shoot the three as opposed to short-arming a layup, maybe after a couple of nights of not playing and whatever treatment they've been giving him, he'll have enough in his shoulder to be able to play somewhat effectively for a limited 10, 12, 14 minutes, whatever they need out of him.
Yeah, that's what Chris was asking. You think that bringing Luke helps soften the defensive blow? It would, but again, you've got to get some kind of offense out of him, and he's just been so awful. So here's your AJ update. Chopped at 9. He was low man based on stack, but he made some money and is on his way in.
Okay, I was going to say, what does that mean, chopped at 9?
It's when you get down to like 9 players, then everybody's getting paid. So a lot of times guys will just say, let's chop the pot based on, because it turns into bingo at the end. The blinds are so big. So it's more luck than it is skill. So everybody gets out with a nice chunk of money. You just don't get the full 3,600 or whatever you would have won if you'd won the tournament. And most of the time, when you get down to, depending on the tournament, most of the time you'll wind up chopping. The only time I won't do it is if I've just got a massive stack and there's a bunch of short stacks. Then it's like, okay, if you guys double up a couple times, I'm more than happy to talk about it. But, most of the time everybody's kind of close at that point. So, yeah, so he'll be here on his way now, just down the road from Prime. So good job, Hoffman.
Made a little bit of money.
Yeah.
All right, nice job. Yeah. Made a little bit of cash.
Yeah, he's pretty good at this. All right, are you a big are you going to follow Johnny Manziel in the CFL?
I will probably follow him somewhat in the CFL.
It's funny how many people are asking me, hey, where do you watch the CFL? Because I'm interested, even though I'm not an Aggie. And it's like, I'm interested, too, to see how he does.
Well, they just signed a new deal with ESPN, so we can watch the CFL on the four-letter network.
They have a bunch of games on ESPN and ESPN2. Now, you've always been able to watch them on ESPN3 every single game. I don't know if that's going to move to ESPN Plus or not, which I hope not, because I don't want to have to buy ESPN Plus on top of everything else. But there are some prop bets on him already.
Prop bets on Johnny Manziel. Yes. Okay, let's hear them.
Will Johnny Manziel be on an active CFL roster by week 21? Yes, minus 200. No, plus 150. Now, I got to tell you, if he messes up, then he's going to have a lot shorter leash up there than he did with the Browns. So,
oh, they're going to tombstone him. That's
If he gets a Dewey or something like that, he's gone. So, I don't mind no plus 150 there. Total starts for Johnny Manziel. Over 7.5. They play 18 games, by the way.
Okay. So, 18 games, 7.5. So, he's going to play 8 starts.
Yeah.
So, a little less than half the season.
Yep. And the other number that they have, will Johnny Manziel start game 1 for Hamilton? Yes, plus 200. No, minus 300.
Well, what's the line for that plus 7.5?
It's 7.5 is the number, the over-under number. It's minus 110 both ways.
Oh, okay. So you have to explain that to, again, the unwashed masses over here of how this works.
Yeah, so you're betting for him to either play more than 7.5 games or less than 7.5 games out of 18.
But it's even odds either way.
Yeah.
And then what was the last one?
Will he start game 1 for Hamilton?
Will he start opening night?
Yeah, he's no is minus 300. Yes is plus 200. They have Jeremiah Masoli, who was going to be their starting quarterback, who probably starts week 1. But I don't mind yes plus 200 there if he picks it up fast enough. It's not like Jeremiah Masoli is a CFL all-star type. So
he's not Warren Moon leading the Edmonton Eskimos.
No, nope, he's not. But there you go. So if you want to bet on Johnny Football, that's what you can do. Hey, were you here yesterday?
I was here yesterday.
Did you get in some of that sausage action?
I did not.
Oh, dude, you missed out because Our buddy Ryan from Zumo's brought the Party Time sausage. He brought the boudin.
And everybody said it was awesome.
And
too.
It was. Tyler, you had some of that stuff, right?
I did. Very good boudin.
Yeah. I see, that's the thing about boudin. I've had bad boudin, and we've talked about this before. So you can get bad boudin. Zumo's does not make bad boudin. Theirs is fantastic. So if you've never tried boudin, don't go try something else first, because then you're going to get something bad and you say, oh, I'm never going to eat it. Go and try Zumo's because you're going to love it. And the Zumo's Party Time sausage is my favorite. That's something, if you're going to grill this weekend, and why wouldn't you? It's Memorial Day weekend. Get out and grill. You know what else is really great for is, like, my wife makes these breakfast frittatas with sausage and uses the Zumo's, and they're just fantastic. And the recipe's been passed down from generation to generation since 1908. It's made from the highest quality ingredients, perfectly blended spices, then hickory smoked for 4 hours, so you get a truly genuine Southern taste. It's been a top seller throughout Southeast Texas for many years, rightfully so. Beaumont, you know all about these guys. You know Zumo's. And they've been in Houston for a while now, too. And now's your chance, Houston. Catch on to this. You can get them at Fiesta, Kroger, H-E-B. Go and get your Zumo's. The boudin is terrific. The Party Time sausage is terrific. They've got all kinds of others for you to try. And go by any one of those stores. Pick it up for this week. Go right now. If you're on your way home, stop by the store, get you some Zumo's, and get your grill on this weekend. You can find all of them at your local grocery store. Just look for Zumo's. Ask for it by name. Z-U-M-M-O-S. Zumo's. Witness, you're blushing. The pipeline is gushing. While here we lie in true wild on a
corner. Luxury sleepless. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry.
Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A.J. is on the way, so he'll be here at some point. Patrick Creighton filling in and doing a good job, I might add. So baseball trade that might impact the Astros because it involves the Mariners. You were talking about this last segment. Your thoughts on Tampa sending Alex Colome to the Mariners? At 47 saves last year, so it gives him another arm at the back end.
Now, and that kind of tells you that the market is now open. This is the first relatively major trade of the season. Alex Colome, Denard Span will go to Seattle, so Seattle gets some help for the back of their pen. Colome's numbers this year are not good, but if you pull up his last 10 games, he's given up 2 earned runs and a total of 5 hits. And he struck out a boatload of guys. He's also picked up 6 saves. He's lost 2 games. Both games that he gave up a run, they lost. But every other game, almost every other game, he's grabbed a save. He's gotten better. He got off to a slow start this year, but he's gotten better. His strikeout totals are starting to pad up. He's a decent back of the pen option. Certainly going to make their bullpen better. Span is a guy who, you know, gives them some speed, can play center field, not hitting for a great average, right? And I think something like 234 or so. But his on base is about 360. So he's getting on. He takes walks. He's got a lot of speed.
And they're only 3 games behind the Astros, which I still don't think the division is going to be in question unless there's massive injuries. But yeah, the Mariners and Angels, I think, are going to hang around for a while. It's a lot better division than it was last year, and certainly going to be in that wild card mix. And, hell, even the A's are over 500.
Yeah, the Rangers are the only team that stink.
Yeah.
I think the Angels will be competitive as long as Mike Trout stays healthy. If Trout goes on a DL and misses 2 months again, they're going to swoon hard. Otherwise, you know, I think the Angels will eventually come in second place. Now, second place might be 16 games out, but second place for the Angels is still going to be a decent season. I mean, they might be a wild card contender. But, you know, this is the thing with the Astros. We're looking at them and going, this is the first time the Astros are really showing you anything close to resembling a hot streak where they've won, like 11 out of 14 now. So this is the first time this year they're really showing you something resembling that hot streak. Like every team that wins over 100 games, they usually have three or four streaks during the year where they'll go like 16-2 or, you know, 12-1. You know, they'll go 18-4. And then the rest of the year, they pretty much play 500 ball. So the fact that while the Astros were struggling and they were playing, you know, 5-6 games over 500, that's why I said you should feel good about that because you know this team's going to go on three or four runs. I thought the Astros, before this started, I said the Astros won 103 games. And I thought that was a conservative number because they legitimately could probably win 106. Nobody expected their pitching to be as good as it is. I think we knew their pitching would be good in the rotation. We didn't think it would be all-time good. And there's only a matter of time till those bats start coming around. You know, Altuve hasn't really hit for any power. When we see Altuve hitting 313, you kind of look at him and go, well, Jose is like in a slump? Because, you know, we used him 340, 350, 313. It's like, all right, well, Jose will come around. Bregman's starting to heat up. You know, Reddick's on the DL. So there's a lot of guys, they haven't really found their stroke. They're starting to find their stroke, and they're starting to win. You know, and beating up on the Indians, I know the Indians haven't had a great season so far, but they can still pitch. And if you're beating up on the Indians, a team that won 102 ball games last year, I think they're starting to find it, and then they're going to get the Yankees. So they go up to the Bronx and get a little bit of revenge on the Bombers. That would not be bad, and then we'll start to see the Astros really get on a hot streak. It's like Hinch has finally stopped the I'm just going to tinker around with everybody and see who I can put where. And guys are starting to get defined roles. And once that happens, team usually takes off. That's pretty much what's going on.
All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in on the HRNP listener line. And I finally have the comments up on the live stream. And Q has been pubbing the live stream big time. Thank you for that. Chris from Sam Houston wants to know, says when comparing the size of Fred's computer to the other guy, Fred looks like less of a man.
It's not all about the size; it's how you use it.
You know, I prefer smaller when it comes to computers. I had those big gigantic Dells forever, and I finally switched to Mac, and I will never go back. It's life changing.
Do you know why I have a big gigantic Dell? Because it's about one third the price of Fred's Mac. that's out of my price range.
Well, I mean, I needed something, especially when we started Sports Map. I had to have something more reliable, and I had Dells forever. And I would go through them every 6 months. So why spend $400-$500 every 6 months? Go ahead and spend the $1,800 and have one that's going to last you for a few years.
I don't use it as often as you do either. I mean, you're always on your computer.
Yeah.
I use my laptop essentially for when I'm on the air and when I'm writing an article. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I use it for almost everything, but I love that it's synced to my phone. It's made my life so much easier because you can actually text from your computer, which is great because I hate texting on my phone because my fingers are, I mean, the phone's too small. Yeah, when I'm trying to...
So you fat finger everything.
Yeah, but I have... But on here, I can text people just directly from the Mac. And so I'm on it probably 16 hours a day in one shape or form.
You could just hit the microphone button and leave voice messages.
I could do that. I actually take calls on it, too, sometimes. If I'm sitting there working on it and don't want to go grab my phone...
Cause so it works like the iPad in that regard?
Yeah.
So I have an iPad.
I mean, this thing is freaking awesome. And Steve-O's on the live stream. Welcome, Steve-O. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. By the way, 100,000 page views in the month of May.
Boom!
Yeah. Thanks to all the listeners. A year from now, this is going to be a good week.
And it wasn't me, because when you told me not to do it, instead of clicking, I went and read a story about how the Yankees released Adam Lind.
Oh, there you go. RJ Bell's going to join us next. Talk a little gambling. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You and I must fight for our lives.
97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And yes, it is Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Hi, Fred.
Poker-winning A.J. Hoffman. Welcome in, man.
Thanks, man.
And we're actually...
Sorry, I didn't realize. This is my first day working here. I thought our air shift started at 5:30.
Yeah, well... Patrick Creighton filled in for you while you were winning money and
admirably, or
he did really well. Did really well.
So do you just need me? You want me to leave for the rest of the day?
No.
Okay.
No. But I chased him off because I was gonna have RJ here as we usually do. We're having problems getting RJ for some reason. I figured I could just handle that solo until you got here, knowing that you were on your way. So I kind of chased him off, but he did fine.
Okay.
So you chopped.
Yeah, I chopped at the final table, and I had the smallest stack when we got to the final table. But luckily, the last hand at the other table, that like so there was 12.
Yeah.
Or no, there was 11, and we combined at 10. But the last hand at that other table, not two people out. So the final table was just 9, and our prize pool was over 11 grand. So I had the smallest stack at the last table, mostly because of one stupid hand.
Yeah, I told the people about it. I didn't realize it was ace queen. You didn't tell me that it was. I thought he had a king.
No, he had ace queen.
And at least, yeah. Oh well.
But either way, it was. I ended up making $700.
Okay.
So
nothing wrong with
not
that.
Bad.
Nothing wrong with that. Good for you. So good to have you here. And also, we now have someone else that's always good to have on the show. The legend, the gambling guru of the universe, RJ Bell.
Where were you, RJ? Were you pooping?
It's not easy to keep Jenny in buttered brickle, so 700 helps.
So, you know, I don't know if I'm going to start another battle between you guys on this series, between the Rockets and the Warriors.
You know what we could do? We could just wait till next week, and then AJ can apologize.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that's what we're gonna have to do. I'm not counting this team out until the last second ticks off the clock. I believe in that team. I will say this: the way they've played in the last two games is the same thing that the Rockets played and got them beat by 41 points. I mean, they're grinding the game down, and it's not the same pretty Warriors basketball that we're used to, and it's killing them. But
so you're saying Daryl Morey. And the coach was able to figure out a way not to play exactly the game Golden State wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Hard to imagine that.
No, oh, well,
I can't even imagine it.
Well, I feel like you're counting chickens, RJ, and I feel like you missed the last 90 seconds where Chris Paul turned into Lieutenant Dan on Forrest Gump. So I'd slow down just a little bit.
Well, you know, to me, my point is already proven. It doesn't matter who wins the series from here.
What?
My point was, this Houston team was going to be very, very competitive. At best, Golden State was a coin flip, and the fact we could get plus 170 was a great value. Now, unless you're going to be totally results-oriented, and if I get you in all your $700 in, and you hit a two-outer, and you're celebrating about the right call, can we really question right now that this is an even series?
Thus,
plus 170 at the beginning was a great bet.
RJ, you're right. I'll admit that. Yeah, I am. I'm not too proud.
I'll see
to
you guys
I'm
next
wrong.
Week.
Okay, there you go. RJ finally won one of our debates, so we'll give him the rest of the day off.
You finally admitted that I won one. but I do. All joking aside, I do feel. And again, you're right. Golden State's still the favorite in this. I mean, a small favorite, but still the favorite in the series. And part of that, they wouldn't be if it weren't for the injury. But still, they'd only be a small dog because the theory is... So what is the projection on CP3 now for Game 7, potentially?
Well, he's out for game six, and my guess is if he does play game seven, he'll be extremely limited. But and I'm just basing this off of what I saw out of his body language and things last night.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's playing.
What people are saying, I think he's dead. I think he's dead, and if they make the finals, I'd be surprised if he's in the first two or three games there.
Wow, that'd be interesting.
His last hamstring strain, he missed 2 weeks. And granted, that was regular season, and you know, maybe he's taking it a little slower in the regular season. But I would say that game seven, if I were putting odds on it, I would say it's pretty unlikely. I'd put him at about 30%, 20% to play game seven.
Let me pose a little idea to you guys, and I'm going to look it up as we're talking. What do you think about Golden State, check that, Houston in game six on the money line? And here's the rationale. Obviously, not likely to win.
Right.
So let's get the odds. But I feel like that this, okay, game five is at home. Team tries super, super hard on the road because they know if they win game five, they're in good shape. Ah, close game, they lose. Now game six. All right, you got to hold serve and you got one more shot. And usually that team plays very well in game six and the home team. And it comes up, and it's game seven. Okay. But in this case, Houston's thinking, if you're right and CP3's likely out in game seven, then Houston's thinking, man, even if we go home, we're not going to be fair. You know, they'd be what? I'm guessing, but Golden State maybe minus four in that game?
That's probably about right.
Yeah, probably so.
That sounds right. So maybe that frees up Houston a little bit to say, guys, we just can't let them hold serve. And again, not that they're going to, just because they're freed up a little bit doesn't mean they're going to win. But then on the flip side, maybe Golden State that knows, guys, we got to hold to go back, maybe they get a little lax.
What's the
I'm not saying it's possible, or I'm not saying it's likely. You can get plus 700.
What's the plus? Ooh. I mean, that's the right price. I mean, that is the right price, but I could see
Houston win. Like, I would love someone to give me, you can sell points instead of buy points and get a payoff, but not this many. And I don't even know if the math is right, but you give me like Rockets minus 10 and let me have, let's say, like 20 to 1. I could really see the Golden State lay a total egg. Why? Because this team has been prone in pretty much any spot that motivation wasn't certain. The Golden State's been hit or miss on motivation this entire year. And usually an elimination game would be certain, but it might be a situation this game gets away from them because they come in just a little bit lax.
Honestly, if James Harden was missing, I would say maybe that could happen. But, I mean, Chris Paul is the person who's gotten them through this series. The reason they're up 3-2 is because of Chris Paul. It seems unlikely that they'll win.
It's one game, though.
It is one game.
And Houston is the highest variance team in the NBA, meaning that if, and again, we got a very, or you guys have a very, and I'm supporting, I bet Houston in the series, so I'll say we, a very high IQ front office / coaching staff. So what is kind of sabermetrics 101? The less likely it is to win a game, the higher variance that you play. Because, you know, in an NBA, it means shoot a bunch of threes is really pretty much higher variance. So Houston is going to be smart enough to know if we grind this game out, our odds of winning are almost zero. But if we shoot a bunch of threes, we could lose by 40, but we can also win the game. So if there's any team to take a flyer on, I think, as a big underdog, when the other team has maybe questionable or of the potential to be flat, it would be Houston, I think, because I think they'll play a high variance game.
I don't hate that idea. I will say that I just looked it up. The Rockets were 15-9 with Chris Paul out of the lineup this year.
Not that bad.
I don't know if that's good enough to if they're good enough to beat the Warriors, but it's not that bad.
Well, it's good. I tell you.
And the other thing, RJ, they've been playing a 7-man rotation, and that means you're going to start seeing minutes from guys like Luke Mbamute, who's been bad in these playoffs. Ryan Anderson, who's, I mean, got more ring rust than anybody right now. You're going to see more minutes. I mean, I can't imagine the Rockets just go out there and play with six guys. It's borderline impossible.
No, that's actually a pretty good point, because the irony is the thinner rotation, you would say, oh, these one-game breaks with travel were negative for Houston, but Houston actually had one of the best, if not best, records in the NBA with exactly one day's rest, because they're a team that is I think more of a, what's the right word, like a timing offense in the NFL. They're more of a rhythm. I think that that's it, rhythm team. And or maybe we're just reverse engineering the data and saying, oh, here's why. I don't know. But do you guys, if I said before I talked about any data, hey, Houston's more of a rhythm team than most, would you have agreed with that?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, so one day off is perfect for that, because you don't have, you know, you're not back-to-back, which is obviously a negative during the regular season against teams that are likely not back-to-back. But then on the other hand, one day gives you a chance to keep your rhythm, but you're not particularly tired.
RJ, I was curious I'm sure that it's maybe too early to tell, but if the Rockets didn't have Chris Paul in the finals, do you know what the lines would look like versus the Celtics or versus the Cavs?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I know against Golden State, Boston, we put out as just an early number to consider. And, you know, we do a good bit of that in the NFL, because the odds we owe to the Associated Press, and we are the official odds provider at pregame.com, you might not know that, but the Associated Press is the no market price has been set. So we've got to do a world opener in a way for the AP, but we had it -1,000 Boston against Golden State. Now, Golden State hasn't looked as good since this was maybe two games ago. And let's think about Houston. So Houston was -200. Or check that. Houston was, Golden State was -200 with Houston at home. So that means they thought 150 cents better, because usually the home team should be -150 if the teams are even. So Houston was home. So 850 maybe would have been Houston without, against Boston, would have been with Paul. So, I mean, how many points do you think Paul's worth? 3?
I mean, it's hard to put a value on him right now. I'd say that's probably about right, 3 or 4, but it feels like it should be more, based on what he's done in this series, at least. But obviously, it's a different series if they play Boston or Cleveland than it is here.
Yeah, you move the line 3 points. Okay, that's about, boy, I bet it's down in the -400 range if we knew he was out for the entire. But again, there'd be uncertainty about that too, obviously.
Right. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to go for it. I was going to ask, as far as like a game one situation, let's say the Celtics win and it's the Rockets play game one without Chris Paul, and that's obviously in Houston, Rockets are favored, but by how much, you think?
Well, 4 is home court. So certainly Houston's the better team. I think Houston's still probably favored. I'll tell you, quite frankly, I think they're still favored by 7.
Oh, boy, even without Chris Paul?
Well, let's think about this.
Game one of the NBA Finals, 10-point spread? If they had Chris Paul?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, wow, okay.
I mean, well, think about it. What's been the lines in the Cleveland series? The lines have been about pick 'em when Boston is home, and about 8 or 7 when Cleveland's home.
Yeah.
So that's saying Cleveland's about 3.5 points better than Boston. Still, they're saying that after all these games.
Right.
So how many points better is and let's forget the injury. If Houston and Cleveland were playing with CP3 healthy, how many points better do you think Houston is?
I guess
it's got to be at least 3, right?
Right. So, and you're saying with the home court advantage, you're saying it'd probably be 7.
With
Chris Paul,
with Paul, and the idea is Paul's worth about 3. So, and Cleveland is worth more, or 3 points better than Boston. So, yeah, I think it would have been 10 with a healthy CP3, 10 at home Houston against Boston, and 7 against Cleveland. And without him against Cleveland, it'd be right around 4 and right around 7, 7.5 against Boston.
Am I wrong that the Warriors line, which is now up, I think it's 11.5 now for game 6, am I wrong that that, like, they set that line at 10 before they knew Chris Paul was out? And was that, or am I mistaken, or did they know that Chris Paul was going to be hurt and put that line to 10?
Exactly. So when there's uncertainty, all they can do is say, what would the line be with them? What would the line be without them? And what's the chance that he plays?
Okay.
So let's just say, for the sake of argument, and it opened more at 10.5, but it'd be easier to assume it was 10 just for round numbers. So 10 to 11.5 means, okay, now that we know he's out, Golden State gained 1.5, which assumes that if Paul were 100% to play, the line would have been about 8.5. So the difference between 8.5 and 11.5 is the 3. They split the difference or so by making it 10, but they actually assumed there was a better than 50% chance he'd be out, so they made it 10.5. Then when he was 100% out, they moved it the additional distance.
I know the switching gears on you here. I know the Golden Knights are -150 against the Caps. I was curious. I was thinking about this after the Capitals won, and I saw the first line. I wonder what the line would be if Vegas wasn't in line to take so much of a bath on Golden Knights futures and things like that. Would the line be closer to maybe even to like -120, maybe even closer to even money if Vegas didn't have so much exposure?
Not even money, but your instincts, AJ, are exactly right. And here's the rationale: is you can look online, which, yeah, because Vegas is Vegas and they probably got a few extra bets. And because it is such a long shot, there's probably a pretty decent futures exposure. So just to kind of tell the story, line opened up here 500-1. I tweeted out at RJ in Vegas a ticket where a guy, I think it was, $50 to win 25,000. I mean, think about that, $50 to win 25,000. I mean, that's what sports betting dreams are made of. And if you go back to 2000, every champion in every major league, professional or amateur, so including NHL, there's been no champion that entered the season worse than 100-1. So the idea of and the Rams in 99 were 300-1. So it was right before that, but still not 500-1. So this is going to be one of the biggest upsets in American, we can go back to, soccer last year and 5001 and all that stuff. But in American sports, this would be one of the biggest upsets I can remember. And again, there's not great records of every future price going back to the 90s. But boy, can you guys think about a bigger surprise?
No, I can't.
No, the only one that even comes close for me was the Rams the first year with Kurt Warner. I know they were something like 300-1 before the season.
Yes.
But that even that's not what this was. And we've talked a lot about the Knights. It's pretty amazing that they've done this with considering that that they basically just put together a really good team of guys who are solid players without a superstar. And my goodness, they're just killing teams right now. So
go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to make the point to kind of tie the two topics together that we started with, is the idea that the series price is potentially skewed. In Vegas, the Vegas books are set up to have their biggest loss in the history of sports betting on any single event because, one, it's such an underdog that probably would have been led to a loss anyway, but then it's a first team Vegas has ever had at the professional level. You got a lot of $10 tickets around town. And because of that, AJ's instincts are exactly right, is Vegas would love to be really lopsided with pro-Washington money. Because the theory is, well, if the Golden Knights win, okay, and the estimate is the Nevada loses about $10 million. on the future pool, which is a big number. Just to give you an example how tough it is to lose a futures pool, in last year's March Madness, so 350 teams obviously can potentially win the title starting the year, is there were only two teams that Vegas would have lost on the futures pool, the future title pool, and the other 348 or whatever they would have won. So it was at Duke and UCLA, if I remember, were the two teams. No, actually Duke and Arizona. So it's rare. In a typical NFL season, there's one or two teams the house loses on. So to even lose is a long shot. The idea that the state will lose upwards of $10 million on this one proposition is humongous. So they would love to be, let's say, as a state, ideally they'd love to be $10 million lopsided on Washington because on the series price. Because then they could think, okay, either way, we're breaking even, but that's not a bad spot to be in. But no, is they're not going to get close to $10 million lopsided, but they do want to get lopsided. So what do? They make Washington more attractive. So instead of Washington being, let's say, and I think the line probably would be maybe minus 125 plus 105 with the Golden Knights favored, if there was no exposure, they make it minus 150 plus 130. So now everyone's thinking, oh, I'm getting an extra 25 cents. I'm going to bet more on Washington. And the way, lastly, AJ, we can figure that out is if you do go online with the offshore books, most of them are in that, you know, minus 130 plus 110 range, which means they're probably a little lot. They're probably a little exposed because it's a long shot, but they're not that much exposed. So that's going to be much closer to the true line, I think. So really, guys, is one of the greatest times talking from Leak City to the other edge of town here. Great advice here. When a price is not representative of a team's chance to win, but rather is affected by some external factor, it is a 100% guaranteed way to have value. It's not a 100% right. guaranteed way to win. There is no such thing other than an arbitrage. But right now, if you bet for Washington and you can get, if you can get plus 130, you certainly are gaining value, or you certainly have a bet that's positive EV.
Yeah, I think this is a big win for bettors. If you, I mean, even if I don't know who's going to win the series, I don't follow hockey closely enough, but I do feel like that the futures exposure is making a really good opportunity for bettors here.
See, AJ, I agree with you on that one.
But there you go.
Well, we're ending on a positive note. I can't believe it.
Hey, Fred. Let's be honest. AJ's a little chagrined.
What?
He's a little chagrined.
I don't even
I
know.
I mean, let's be candid. I would say AJ's brand in the last 8 weeks has probably been, if you would stack rank what you've been the most adamant about, you've been the most adamant saying Houston won't be competitive with Golden State. You said not that long ago, if Houston added LeBron James to this team, they'd still lose to Golden State.
I've been saying for 4 years, I said as recently as this week, I don't think a team with James Harden as their best player can win a title. So yeah, I've got some exposure too.
You keep repeating your mistake. Doesn't make it any better.
Well, no, listen, when I'm wrong, I'll be wrong. But until I am, I'm right.
All right, RJ.
James Harden doesn't have a ring yet, RJ.
How many? All joking aside, are you married, AJ? I can't remember.
I am. Yeah.
And is this your first marriage?
It is.
Do you usually say things like that at home? I'm right, no matter what.
Yes,
until there's 100% truth. Well, we might. Good luck.
All right, RJ, we'll talk to you again next week, man. Thanks.
Bye,
great
guys.
Stuff. All right, we're gonna take a quick break here, and come back. We'll get caught up with AJ. Get some of his thoughts on the Rockets. Although I quite enjoyed your column today.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right.
Which. Very well done.
Thank you. I was honestly able to avoid the results until I got to watch the game like I didn't know what was happening. I stayed off Twitter. I stayed off my phone. I didn't listen to the radio. I I was able to actually do it sort of authentically, so I thought it was fun.
Yeah, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, it's AJ's tweets you didn't get to see from the Rockets-Warriors game as his story today. It's very funny. It's performing very well on SportsMap. We also have the two-man game. Mario, Ellie, and Joel have a video on what the Rockets do without Chris Paul. It's also a story about that and a bunch of other good stuff on there, so go check it out. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Your head is humming and it won't go in case you don't know. The Piper's calling you to join him.
Dear lady, can you hear the... Well, hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.